outside linebacker, not a defensive lineman. Maybe I've still got Kemele Correa there, but we'll see what they do.
I think that you're right. I apologize for that, KC. Absolutely in the AFC West. However, I do think that KC needs a lot of help, especially with Justin Houston being out. Maybe that is where some of these defensive players kind of slide and fill the gap for KC.
And interesting, the Jaguars have just moved up two picks. They've made a trade with the Baltimore Ravens. They sacrificed their fifth-round pick, 146 overall, to move up two spots. So we'll see what the Jaguars decide to do. Who have they targeted? You know, maybe it's Whitehair. Maybe it's Noah Spence. A lot of possibilities for a team with a lot of needs.
We've seen a lot of teams this year trade up just a couple of spots. There have been the big trades, like you think about the Los Angeles moving up to the number one spot. But as far as these incremental trades, Mace, what do you make of just kind of moving one or two spots? Is this becoming more of a trend in recent years, or do you feel like, you know, this is just a one-off?
I don't think it's a one-off. I think it's something we're going to see more of. If teams want a guy, they've targeted a guy, especially at this range, because it's obviously you're still seeing guys that are first-round caliber players that are on the board, and they may say, okay, hey, we've got a chance to get a guy that we had a round one grade on. And then part of it is also, if you're the Jaguars, you've struggled for a long time, you're trying to sell hope to your fans. And whoever this pick is, I'm sure they're going to come out at their press conference and say, we had a first-round grade on him, and we feel like we got two first-round picks. Just kind of how you sell it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And the Jaguars moved up to get their guy. Let's find out who it is right now.
The commissioner come out with one of the best rushers of his generation.
To announce the Jacksonville Jaguars selection, please welcome from the University of Florida, the ninth overall pick in the 1998 draft by the Jaguars, running back Fred Taylor.
With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
And there it is, Matt. Miles Jack, the guy who we all thought was going to go in the first round, taken by the Jaguars. Add him with Jalen Ramsey, their first-round pick, and that defense looked pretty good.
Well, you just said it. That defense looks downright scary now with the additions of Malik Jackson, Jalen Ramsey, and now you add Miles Jack to the mix. Mace, when you think about it, this could be two top-five talents. If Miles Jack's health maintains, you're looking at Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack being two of the definitive players, defensive players, in the NFL for quite some time.
And then you have Dante Fowler Jr. coming back after missing last year with a torn ACL. He, too, is a top-five talent. And then they brought in Malik Jackson, who we know very well from his 4 years with the Broncos. We'll see how the chemistry develops, and we'll see what Miles Jack can do in terms of his injury issues. But that's a defense that has, in the last 2 months, really gotten a lot bigger, a lot faster, a lot scarier. We'll see what they can do. The Jags may be a sleeper pick to do something this year.
And we see Miles Jack, a linebacker, go off the board there. We know that Reggie Ragland is still available. The Broncos, Matt, with the departure of Danny Trevathan, they have a couple of guys who could fit into that role, but maybe they look at the draft too.
Well, yeah, I think that you have to. Reggie Ragland is a guy that we talked about as a possible fit for the Broncos. He's still on the board. We thought Ragland would go before, maybe in the teens to the 20s, and he's still left. So, Mace, what is your feeling as far as the Broncos linebacker situation? I know we talked about it extensively from the inside spot. Is that still where you see things heading?
I could see them making a pick there, but I could be wrong, but I could see that. I think it's maybe more of a day three pick than a day two pick. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Brandon Marshall, they see him as the three down linebacker, the guy who's going to stay out there. They want to get something done with him in a long-term contract. That's a huge priority for them. I think that's something that if things go their way, may come together over the next few months to get Brandon Marshall around for the long term. So then you're looking for a two down guy, maybe someone who could be a thumper working alongside Brandon Marshall. And that's where we start talking about the guys who maybe aren't as fast and aren't as great in coverage, but are just tackling machines. we did our piece on linebackers on DenverBroncos.com. Guys like Joe Schobert out of Wisconsin, Tyler Matakevich out of Temple. Those are two guys that may fit.
You've got Correa from Boise State, Mace, going to the Kansas City Chiefs in your mock. Do you still feel good about that as the Chiefs pick is in? We will hear from the commissioner in a second, but before that, how do you feel about Correa if that is the choice?
I think it would be a good choice for the Chiefs, but I got to say, the way this second round is going, I'm not sure how good I feel about any of these picks going forward. It's going to be interesting. I mean, probably the ones I feel best about going forward, Von Bell to the Bucs, I think that'd be a great move for them. Ragland to the Giants, Henry to the Dolphins, and Connor Cook to the Jets, I feel pretty strongly about.
Mace, your mock draft over there, you look like John Madden trying to draw up a play on that thing.
Yeah. Or we'll do the old Vince Lombardi. Seal here.
Boom.
Run this play in the alley.
The problem is that now we have no idea how to get those lines off. It's ruined, Mace. It's ruined. Ah, there you go. You found the back
button. It's magic, folks.
Very good. Well, Commissioner Goodell is at the podium getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs pick. Let's go to Chicago for the selection.
To announce the Kansas City Chiefs selection, please welcome from Auburn University, an undrafted free agent in 1995 and recent inductee into the Chiefs Ring and Hall of Fame, fullback Tony Richardson.
Thank you. With the 37th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Chris Jones, defensive tackle, Mississippi State.
Another guy that many talent evaluators had the Broncos taking, Chris Jones. A lot of first-round mocks had the Broncos taking Jones in the first round. Mace, what do you make of Jones going this late? It looks like KC's defensive line just got a lot of help with Justin Houston out.
A lot of help with a nice long player who, he does a great job getting his hands up. He can, if he doesn't make a play on the pass rush, he can deflect the pass. I think he plays with a lot of football intelligence, and of course, he's got the build to be an outstanding defensive lineman. He's going to play extensively for the Chiefs right away.
And like you mentioned, Mace, a run on defensive linemen here.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is where teams are starting to say, okay, these guys dropped, and all of them in their draft rooms understand why they drop. This is just kind of the nature of the draft, trying to figure out which cards to play. It's a high-stakes game of poker, trying to figure out what everyone else is going to do. Now you go into day two, because it used to be the draft was 2 days. Now it's three. So after the first round, everyone gets a chance to kind of take a look at the board, calmly reflect, reassess, make their plan for the second day.
And, of course, that's the Chiefs' first pick of the draft.
Yeah, and they made it a good one. I mean, you see the trend now that the Broncos have kind of set the last 3 years. I think teams are starting to pick up on this, get value on the defensive end early on in this draft, see what happens, and maybe it can lead to a Super Bowl, because that's exactly what happened for the Denver Broncos.
And I think now, looking at how that trade with San Francisco worked, the 49ers took Garnett, who they liked, but I thought that was a reach. And the Chiefs are sitting there getting a guy that they really liked, and they get it. They add draft picks later on. They get better value. This deal actually kind of reminds me of the Broncos back in 2012 trading down still getting Derek Wolfe, and that's worked very well for them.
Yeah, Andy Reid, of course, no newbie to the draft process here.
Absolutely not. Mace, before we go, we're going to take a quick break. For those of you who just joined us, we're going to take a quick break and come back for the Oakland Raiders pick. But before we do, Mace, until that point, who do you see? What do you see as kind of being the cornerstone or the focal point here until Oakland? What do you see as something that you like on that board?
I think we're going to see more defensive ends and defensive linemen going off the board in general. Now now you're looking at a position of depth, a position that had a lot of quality, a lot of first round caliber players, and that's what you're going to see teams try to get. I think guys that had first round value.
We will be constantly updating the draft board as it pertains to the picks. However, we will be back here live at 44 for that Oakland Raiders pick. For Phil Milani and Andrew Mason, I'm Matt Boyer. We will see you just a little bit, about 10 picks from now.